All right, well, good morning again. Do me a favor, would you put your hands together for those who are visiting with us and those online? Just let them feel the love. All right. It's good to see you here and put you at ease if it is your first time. We're not going to ask you to stand up and give you a balloon or anything, okay? We're just going to let you kind of sink in, all right? Stealth-like, spy-like. Well, bring us all up to speed. We are in part 4 of our series, Love Like Jesus. And so every Sunday in this series, we have been visiting a verse or a portion of scripture out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, the cool thing is, if you are unfamiliar with the Bible, or you are new to church or church life, there's a chance you've heard portions of 1 Corinthians 13. It's kind of the love chapter, and it's important. We need it, and we've been looking at how Jesus calls for his followers to not only live like he did, but to love like he did. And this particular love, it gets translated as simply L-O-V-E in our Bibles. But in the Greek, the original language of the New Testament, at least most of it, is written in Greek. And it is not just any kind of love, but it's agape love. It is the ultimate expression. It's really defined as a Christian love, because it was known, it came through the Jewish nation, and it's been through into Christianity, and that's a big part of your and my calling. Now, here's the good thing. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul's just writing and describing what this love looks like. And let's be honest, it's a bit challenging. It can challenge us a little bit. It can stretch us a little bit. There are probably some times through a Sunday morning message or through this series that you thought, well, you know, I hope we're not taking stock of last week because I really didn't do so well. That's not a problem. That's not a problem. Listen, we're looking to Jesus. We're wanting to follow him, listen to his word and his ways. And here's the good thing. You and I have a patient God. We have a God who loves us where we are with what we bring to the table. He's familiar with our backstory. And he's not turned away. He's pursuing us. He loves us. But along with the grace we receive in knowing Christ, there's also a calling to become like Jesus. But here's the thing. As I said last week, we're not focusing on somehow becoming more patient. We're not going to focus on behavior modification. Because how many of you know that only gets you so far? It eventually breaks down. What we're after is focusing, fixing our eyes on Jesus and letting him renovate our heart. And that takes some time. It takes a little bit. And today, especially, it's going to be fun. Because today, I'm going to let you in on a secret. Agape love is not, everybody say, is not. Say it, 1, 2, 3. Is not easily angered. Come on, just show of hands. How many of you love to hear a good old-fashioned message on anger? Come on. That's what I thought. We have one. All right. Whew. I thought my back was against the wall last week. Shoo. All right. Listen, today we're going to talk about, again, Paul's describing, he's investigating, he's preaching and sharing to this church in Corinth, a real church in the city of Corinth, in some of the earliest days these people were following Jesus, following this Messiah. And so they were learning. They didn't have it all together. In fact, if you know anything about the Corinthian church, it is like, man, they are straight out of MTV. I mean, straight out of like some crazy shows. Is the display? Yeah, I'll leave it there. We'll just keep it there. That was the Corinth church. I mean, they did not have it together. I mean, it was like one step forward, 60 steps back. One step forward, 100 steps back. I mean, they were mixed up and in many ways messed up. But here's what was happening. They were determined to follow Jesus. They had been, if you will, so touched and affected by the love of God that they knew they could not go back. They could not return to how they were living. And they were determined to live in the power of the Spirit and move forward, trusting God, living in his ways. And so Paul's coaching them up. He's pastoring them. He's leading them. And he's like, look, this agape love, it's patient. Agape love, not only is it patient, you need to be patient with one another. Not only is it patient, it's also kind. And so we realize, oh my goodness, yes, Lord, we need to be kind. We need to be patient. We need to be kind. Last week we talked about this love is not self-seeking. And I encouraged us to live as daughters and sons of God who know that our Father has our back. Do you know that? That your heavenly Father will meet every need. And why is that so important? It's because now you don't have to live self-seeking. And here's kind of the byproduct of living self-seeking is that we are easily angered. It comes easy to us. Come on, it comes sometimes for some of us too easy. Like it is the easy button. That is what sometimes the enemy uses. I'll have a moment and I'm like, man, that happened too easily. Like I did not know my voice could get that loud that fast. I did not know that I was so emotionally affected when I am so hungry. I'd never known that, or I did not know that traffic could have such an effect on me during vacation. Come on, somebody. Sometimes it's just too easy, and I feel like, you familiar with the easy button? I feel like anger is over there next to us, next to me when I'm driving, and anger all of a sudden is like,
that was easy.
You're like, I'm standing in line. This happened to me. I'll just, full disclosure, on the way to our Freedom Small Group, which meets on Thursday night, with my girls present. I'm standing in McDonald's. The line has gone way down. And so I'm like, it's going to be quicker to go inside. Somebody, amen? Yes, Jesus. So we're running inside. We're getting in line. And nobody's there to greet me. Nobody's standing behind the register. And I do something I'm not very proud of. But my voice raised as I saw the flurry of people behind me. And I looked over. A lady had just received her drink. And I said, excuse me, ma'am. I said, excuse me. Was somebody here to take your order? And the rest of the staff's like, who's this weirdo? And I'm like, hey, I'm a pastor. Come join us. We're just down the street, you know? And so I recognized as I saw my daughters next to me and I knew the temptation was increasing. And then I had this sudden thought. I've been formed in Christ's likeness. But yet, I still pursued anger. And I think anger was in the corner. It was just like,
that was easy.
You know? We all have these moments. It's like our easy button. It's our easy button. But here's what's lying beneath the surface, if I can be transparent. If we are perpetually living in anger, big surprise, something is off on the inside. Something is missing. Something is skewed. Our perspective, perhaps, but maybe there are some things, some wires were miscrossed, and we've never dealt with them. See, anger, to understand what anger is, it's actually very easy to understand what anger is. All right, and I don't mean to sound, this isn't for you, this is for people who are listening elsewhere. But anger at its core, I don't know if you've ever philosophically thought about anger, but anger is an emotional response. We affirm emotions, okay, Hillside? Not that we want you all emotional. Don't misread that. But we affirm emotions. God gave you. We are created in his likeness. Anger was given to you by God. But hold that thought. Let me finish the message so you understand which anger. But anger is just an emotion that we have. But it's beneath the surface of our life. And there are two kinds of anger that we can understand. One is a righteous anger. That is for injustice in the world. And then there's unrighteous anger. And unrighteous anger is what we're going to be talking about today, that we must understand if we want to remain rooted in Christ, walk in that love that is a light to the world around us. Shooting straight with you, it's just not, we shouldn't be people that are easily angered. It shouldn't come easy to us. And anger, very simply, here it is. Unrighteous anger is our response when control is unwillingly taken away. When control is unwillingly taken away. Now, McDonald's, that's just a funny, silly example. Honestly, traffic, it's just an easy, funny, straightforward example. But each of us has had to deal with situations in life where our expectations were not met. And things we suffered, things we endured, things we had to walk through. There's some shrapnel, if you will, in our soul. And if we're not careful, we land up blowing up. We land up getting angry. Like, well, where did that thought come from? And we just blame the fact we're hungry. Ah, it might be more than you're hungry. Believe that, men. Okay, can I just be straight with you? It might be more than you're hungry, okay? It could be that there's something deeper lying within. And I love what another pastor out of Atlanta, Andy Stanley, said. He said, anger is a result of not getting what we want. And it's not only in the simple, easy parts of life. It's in some of the deeper issues of life. For instance, if you've ever found yourself saying or having these thoughts, you took my reputation. You stole my family. You took the best years of my life. You stole my first marriage. You robbed me of my teenage years. You robbed me of my purity. You owe me a raise. You owe me an opportunity to try. You owe me a second chance. Or how about this? You owe me affection. It's subtle there, but Andy Stanley, in a wonderful, tremendous book, you may want to take notes and write this one down. It's called The Four Enemies of the Heart. And in that chapter, specifically about anger, he says that the relational equity, the phrase he uses is, anger always says, you owe me. That's what anger says. Anger always says, you give me a circumstance, you were angry, somebody owed you something. Honestly, it's the economy of the culture we live in. Anger is applauded. Wow, they're ambitious. Man, you kind of freak me out. I don't know if you'll ever be a friend, but boy, you are ambitious. I will never work for you, so help me God. You know, like, right? Right? There's always that, you know, you remember like it's usually the male. It's free for all, okay? It's not. But I've known several ladies in time that were like, yeah, everything was great. Until this one date, he got really angry. And that was the last date we ever went on. That told me everything I needed to know. See, anger at its bottom level is it's simply not getting what we want. Almost the easy, simple things in life, but also the deep, heavy places in life. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't know if you've realized this. I've realized this about my own life. But the shrapnel of trauma or difficulty or missed expectations, if we don't go to God with that, it never leaves. And here's the thing. We're good actors and actresses. So we can fake it to make it. But eventually, our anger pops out, and we can't control it. Very frequently, it happens to come out to the people who care and love us the most. That's why oftentimes anger in a marriage, it's so huge. And the spouse is like, man, they don't act like that at work. Well, the reason they don't act like that at work is so they can continue to go to work and not be fired. But I'll tell you, nothing breaks down trust like anger. Anger creates an environment of eggshells. Nobody knows where they stand with you or with me when we're angry people. The critical thing for us as Christ followers is not to put this off and, you know, la-di-da, hey, I'm going to go to heaven sometime. Maybe there I won't be angry. That's a poor, poor vision for life. Jesus, hear me loudly, he wants to set us free. He makes a promise in John 10:10. He said, I've come that you might have life and life abundantly. That's not limited to like our spiritual life. That's every arena. That's in our marriages. That's in our dating relationship if you're single. That's in your friendships. That's in your parents. That's, believe it or not, I know it's tough right now, but that's even with your kids and in your family unit. Not only that, you can have the abundant life in your workplace, in every arena. The kingdom of heavens wants to, if you will, penetrate, permeate those places. But the first half of John 10:10 is also important. It says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Why am I bringing that up? Because anger steals from us. Every day, if we're not careful, anger will steal from us. It will sever and break relationships. It will sever and break families down. Anger is a big deal. And so Paul, you can imagine, he's writing to the Corinthian church and he's seen some things. He's heard some things. He's getting some feedback. He's like, man, I'm about to not claim you as one of my church plants. You know, you could think Paul's like, y'all are crazy. But Paul does what a good pastor does, and he points them to Jesus. He points them not to themselves. He says, let me show you the end of chapter 12. It says, let me show you the most excellent way, the most excellent way, and that is the way of Jesus, the way of the cross, the way of living, not self-seeking, but God-seeking, and letting his love and his life permeate every arena of our life. So Paul's describing love, and he says, it isn't, and it doesn't operate with an easy anger. Agape love from God. Some of you may need to hear that over your soul. When you mess up, your heavenly Father, he's not easily angered. You may have been taught that your sin, man, it just God's so angry, he's so upset with you, he can't do anything with you, look at you. No, that's not God's heart towards you. God loves you. He sees you. He's called you. He's faithful. He's patient. He's kind. And so I want to take us on a short journey to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to spend a moment, look what Jesus said specifically about anger. About anger. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Thanks, Jesus. This is going really well. I tell you the truth. You will not get out, until you have paid the last penny. In our human nature, we're like, Raca, I don't even say Raca. I guess I'm off the hook. You fool, I don't really use that terminology. Don't get tied in on the terminology. Jesus isn't expressing our behavior per se. He's expressing what's in the heart. And anger, obviously, if we're not careful, if it's unkempt, if it is just let to grow as a wildfire, it will lead to murder and so forth. Anger starts as just the seed. And that seed is because we feel we weren't fairly treated. And honestly, many times we were not fairly treated. And so that shrapnel, we've got to find a way to release the pain, to release the difficulty, to release the unmet expectations. Let me let you in on a little secret. You may never hear the person you need to hear it from say, "I'm sorry." You may never hear. I know people who had just trauma as children, difficult, the worst case scenario kind of things. And as they grew into adulthood, they found Christ. But before they found Christ, their parents had passed away. They would never get an "I'm sorry" from them. They would never get a, "Hey, I want to apologize that I wrecked your childhood." And so they came face to face with, well, what do I do? It's not easy, but it's worth it. We have to live as Jesus lived. We have to find a way to love as Jesus loved. It's to forgive people we'll never forget. If you remember Psalm 103, it's God who forgets. It's him who casts our sins from the east and the west. God doesn't say, "Look, as a follower of Christ, you need to forget your trauma." No, 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 no. But you can find a way to forgive through the power of God and through his Holy Spirit. And so I want to just take us on an acronym. I don't do this very often, but we'll close with these five letters out of the word anger. I actually stole these. Full transparency. You got eyes, plagiarize. Okay? I had somebody, best pastoral advice I ever got. No, it just made some of y'all really nervous. But I did. I did. These are totally stolen. Here's the pastor. His name's Derwin Gray. Don't know him, but I listened to him on occasion. And I love the acronym he had. Tremendous pastor of a remarkable multi-ethnic church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Derwin Gray. And this is his acronym. I've added and taken away a little bit. But the A in walking through, if anger is on or in your life and in your sphere, we need these. The A is to acknowledge pain and trauma. Quit running from pain and trauma. Quit running. Acknowledge the hurt. Acknowledge the pain. You don't have to try to stuff it in or bypass it. God sees that chapter of the book that's being written, and he loves you. He doesn't cause all things to happen. I've often counseled people. I believe he's there weeping in the moment. He didn't cause those things to happen, but as Romans 8, verse 28 says, he holds the keys. Not me, not you, not us. He holds the keys to working all things together. Somehow. Praise God. Somehow. It's a hope. You can have hope. You may not see it. You may not see how. You may not see why. You may not even wish that right now. But that verse is a promise over your and my life. But it takes us being open. It takes us admitting, man, that really hurt. Sometimes I'll sit in my chair praying, getting alone with God, and I'm like, that really hurt. Ouch. And why I do that is because we have to go there to move forward. Sometimes we have to go back. You've heard that, right? Living emotionally healthy. Sometimes you got to go back, what? To move forward. Y'all have seen WandaVision. That's a great example. Sometimes you got to go back to move forward. Sometimes you have to process the things that had happened in the past. You got to forgive. Acknowledge pain and trauma. We have part of our discipleship in 2021 are two marvelous, I should say, words. Slow down. Slow down. Why? So that you can have room for small groups in your life. So that you can have room for relationships in your life. Busy, 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 busy. One decade turns to two decades, turn to three decades, and now look at you, you're a parent. And you're angry all the time. You're flying off the handle. You're using words you never imagined you'd use. You're drinking things you never thought you would drink. Looking at things you never thought you would look at. and you're blaming yourself, living in a cycle of shame. I'm terrible, I'm terrible, I'm terrible. No, you're the beloved of Almighty God. But he's inviting you. Slow down. Slow down. Acknowledge the trauma and the pain. You can take a quick look around you. Every one of us been hurt. Every one of us. Everyone has been hurt. Got that one from Pastor Durham. Great. No, it's easy. Every one of us has been hurt. Every one of us has been hurt. Every one of us has difficulty. We've got to acknowledge it. N, the A, the N, N is never let the devil gain a stronghold. Some of you, I'm about to save your marriage right here. Ephesians 4:26. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. That'll change your life. Some of you not married. This will change your life. Do not let the sun go down while you're angry. How about this? Do not shut off Instagram or Facebook while you're angry. No, I'm kind of teasing on that, but I'm serious. You've got to not move from one day into the next. Why is that verse so important? What's Paul saying? He's saying, hey, acknowledge things that happened. Walk in forgiveness. Walk in reconciliation. Walk in peace. Say, I'm sorry. If it's you that needs to say you're sorry, say, I'm sorry. It's important. G-A-N-G, I love this. Grace is better than anger. It's kind of a no-duh, right? But think on that. Grace is better than anger. Jesus on the cross. Jesus on the cross. What is his statement? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sometimes, I know it's difficult. Sometimes we have to operate in that way because the people who caused the pain, the people who caused the hurt, the people that made our lives very, very difficult, can I tell you, they ain't ever going to see it. They're not ever going to admit it. They're not ever going to see it. And so we're stuck. Like, oh my goodness. That's why Jesus' words we can hold on to. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The E, extend forgiveness. Extend forgiveness. I will free some of you today. Don't rush into forgiveness. Some of you, you may have a little bit of my personality where you have check boxes. Check, 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 check. Oh, you said say sorry. Okay, I'm gonna go say sorry. And can I tell you the other person is not ready for your I'm sorry. But you said before the sun goes down. Look, what I mean is have your heart before the Lord in the right place. Reconcile as best you can. But a critical step in fixing our eyes on Jesus. Keep in mind, we're not fixing our eyes to not be easily angered. We're fixing our eyes on Jesus as we keep our heart towards him. Every day we read his word. Every day we pray. Every Sunday we come to church or live in a small group or just turn the posture of our heart towards him. Here's the byproduct of that. We're not easily angered because here's one of Paul's go-to passages is Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Keep the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. Paul is constantly using the ultimate God card every chance he can, every chance he can. Look to Jesus. Have the attitude of Jesus. Have the mind of Christ. Why? Because that's where our affection and our focus must be on. Because if you're anything like me, you can have a tendency to so focus on the trauma, the pain, the offense, the difficulty. And as I focus on that, you see, I can hardly see any of you now. You know, because I'm just so caught up. So caught up in what happened to me. Could you believe that they would blah, 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 blah. And so I've got the pain, I've got the trauma, and I'm so focused on it, I can't see anything else. And Paul's saying, no, no, hold that. Bring it to me. Keep our eyes fixed on him. And it's as my eyes and my heart is fixed on him, it's through that that I can forgive. Because Paul would say, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Focus on him. Because here's the thing. Once we know what we've done, how much forgiveness we needed, we can there extend that grace and forgiveness to others. Right? We know the passage, he who has been forgiven little forgives little. But he who has been forgiven much forgives much. So much truth in the word of God. The last is our reconciliation is the goal. Now, some circumstances, some situations, reconciliation isn't going to happen right away. It's not going to happen for a season, or quite frankly, it may never happen. But as it is on you, walk in peace with one another. As it is on you, walk in peace with one another. Statistics would say that in this room alone, there's been a lot of traumatic experiences. Statistics would say in American culture that many of you have been recipients of some very difficult, deep lying hurts and abuses. Know this about God. He doesn't minimize those. He doesn't overlook those. He doesn't see them maybe with the shame that you see yourself with. His heart breaks for what you journeyed through. But he knows the keys to my and your freedom is to forgive. To forgive. You can't rush it. You can't, hey, you know what? I think today I'm going to forgive. No, but here's what happens. You slowly and steadily, continually, consistently move forward. And here's what's crazy. It's like you're coming out of the grave. And it's like your grave clothes are left behind in the tomb. And you step in as a new creation. That's the beautiful thing of what God does. It's a beautiful thing of what God does. Know that God is so patient. Know that he wants to. I know you may not even be able to think of this right now, but Jesus would leave and say, it's to your advantage that I go, because if I go, I can send the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes, he will counsel you and he will comfort your wounded heart. That's a promise from God over your and my life. Come on, let's close with a short word of prayer and then with a song of worship together. Lord, we love you. We're so grateful, God, that you are not an angry heavenly Father. We thank you that you are an affectionate heavenly Father. That, Lord, you have made a way that we might live and have life abundantly. And Father, for some of us, this may be the first time we've even been able to recognize where the anger is coming from. Lord, the pain of our past, the disappointment, the missed expectations. God, for some of us, we've got a record book a mile long of offenses that we've had to endure and walk through. And God, I don't propose that in one moment we could say a prayer and it would all go. But I do know that you are faithful. And I do know that you are merciful and compassionate. And Lord, I just speak peace to every heart, every person under the sound of my voice. I pray for the peace of Christ to rule and reign over their heart. I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would lead them from where they are in this moment into a life and lifestyle of forgiveness, where they can extend the hand of mercy, where they can extend the hand of your love and not judgment and not anger. Holy Spirit, we're going to need your help like never before. Fill us up. Fill us up, Holy Spirit. Wash over us, Holy Spirit. We need you now more than ever, God. Help us, Lord, to lead the way in this community, to lead the way in our workplaces and in our families, to show what love looks like when we love like Jesus. Thank you so much, God. One last moment of prayer. I want to give you the opportunity to step into relationship with God, to be, as Scripture says, born again. Would you say this with me? If you know that you know, God's been knocking on, we call it around here, knocking on the door of your heart. He's calling you. He's welcoming you home. Know that God stands there with arms wide open. There's nothing you could have done that would make him turn his back on you. No, he stands with arms wide open. He's ready to welcome you home. Come on, if that's you, you know he's calling you. Say this with me. God, I need you. And Jesus, I need your mercy. I need your grace. I ask that you would forgive me of all my sin, that you would wash me. Wash me in the blood of Jesus, God. I thank you for your mercy in and over my life, that God, I am not a sinner, but I am a saint made whole by the love of God. Thank you, Lord. I give you my past, I give you my present, and I trust you with my future. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.